Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We hear today our Lord's teaching this parable of the great banquet, and I think it's quite obvious to us from the parable that the Lord is teaching us not to make excuses. When he's speaking about the great banquet to which we are invited, he's speaking, of course, we are invited to his heavenly kingdom. We are invited to live as he has taught us how to live and to eventually someday to be able in the resurrection to enter into the joy of our Lord. And again, it's clear that we should not be making excuses for reasons not to follow God's teaching and reasons not to participate in his metaphorical banquet. But there is actually something that is deeper to this than what first appears to us if we do not know Scripture very well. Because these excuses that were offered by those who were invited are actually very good excuses. In fact, these three excuses that are offered in the Lord's parable were excuses that allowed someone to avoid being conscripted into the army when Israel was being attacked. So in other words, the excuses that are offered based upon the Lord's parable, again, are very good excuses that one, even if one's nation was under attack, and you were of the age to serve, if you had these excuses, they would tell you, you no longer have to serve. We will go find somebody else. It's okay. We understand. In our society today, we can't understand most of these because we do not live in an agrarian society. But the first says, I have bought a field and I go out to see it. I pray you have the excuse. This is allowed for one to get out of war because in that time you're buying a field and having a place to tend is how you make your living. It's how you have your substance. I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go to examine them. Again, also a very good excuse in an agrarian culture because the oxen are going to work your field. And without that, you have no way to make a living. And then, of course, the one that I think we all can understand, I've married a wife. You're a newlywed. And it's time for you to go, let's be frank, it's time for you to go consummate the marriage and in the society of that time to immediately start having children because people didn't survive the way that we do today. Modern medicine and so forth. And if your people, if your nation is going to survive, people have to get married and reproduce. And so these, again, are three very good excuses. So I bring this up to point out to you that it's not just that our Lord is telling us about his call to his kingdom and how, you should make excuses, blah, blah, blah. No, it's very specific what he's telling us today. And that is even what was a good excuse before. Even what was an excuse for you to not be able to have to go and defend your country. That is no excuse when it comes to my kingdom. There are no excuses. There is nothing that should come before following God's will. There is nothing that we should put in front of doing what God has asked us to do. And so today, it's interesting that we also have, as a coincidence, these readings don't always go together, but we have the reading of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he tells us to put to death what is earthly in us, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. He tells us also to put away all anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk from our mouths, and lying to one another. The question we must ask ourselves today, brothers and sisters, is, are we doing everything within our power to avoid these sins that Paul mentions and any other sins? Because there is no excuse that we can offer on the day of judgment that says, I had other priorities. There were other things I needed to do. There is no excuse. And that doesn't mean, don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean that we don't fall. It doesn't mean that we don't stumble. It doesn't mean that we're going to leave here and set our mind to it and we're going to be perfect the rest of our lives. But it means when we do that, do we prioritize our repentance? Do we admit immediately when we recognize our mistakes and try to amend in any way we can those who we might have offended or impacted? Or do we make excuses? Or do we say, we'll wait until tomorrow? Or that we have something else to do? Or that, you know, it's okay. God forgives. He's a loving God. I can keep on sinning. If we have that attitude, brothers and sisters, then we will be like these ones in the Lord's parable who were invited to the banquet, who are told, you know, never mind. I'm going to go find some other people. And very specifically and very precisely, our Lord tells us who he's going to find. He's going to go out to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the blind and the lame. And even then, he says, there's room. And so he goes out to the highways and the hedges and compels people to come in, really trying to get them into his kingdom. And this aligns precisely with St. Paul, what he says at the end of his letter today, our reading of his letter today, that in this community of God, at this banquet, there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. And this teaching that is so central to the gospel is what we must really work on, because it is the greatest sin in many ways that we can commit as members of God's community. The sin of seeing all the differences of people around us and ultimately judging them and deciding that we are better than they are or that we don't like their differences. We must learn to see everybody as children of God. We must learn to see even the greatest sinners as worthy of our mercy and of our love and of our deeds to help them. And there are no excuses. We can make no excuse for doing otherwise. And again, we will fall short. We will make mistakes. But when we do, we must immediately admit them, recognize them, confess them, and most importantly, repent. And repent doesn't mean saying that you're sorry or going to confession. Repent means that you change the way you live. You change the way you think. You were going west, and now you're going east. That's what repentance means. You turn around, do a 180-degree turn. And so as we close out this Advent fast, this Advent season, and we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are reminded to make the most of this final week of the fast. We're reminded to make the most of the rest of our lives to put aside all excuses and to focus on one thing, and that is following God and living His will, according to His will. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever. Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.